This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek His help, we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of within our souls and from the evil that results from our sins. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none shall misguide them. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to be led astray, none shall guide them back to the straight path. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. Allah tells us in the Quran, O you who believe, be God conscious, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves, and do not die except as Muslims. Allah also tells us in the Quran, O mankind, be God conscious, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created you from one soul, and from it its mate, and from it many men and many women. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom you ask of one another, and by the wombs that gave birth to you, for verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful over you. O you who believe, be God conscious, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and speak the truth. He will render your deeds righteous, and He will forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger has indeed achieved a great victory. Verily, the best of speech is the speech of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst affairs are those that are of religious innovations, for all of that is misguidance, and all of it leads to the hellfire. Of the thousands of verses that we find in the Quran, most of the verses, or you could even say the majority of these verses, were sent down to an event regarding an event that occurred either in the past or is occurring during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. But some of these verses, a small portion of them, were revealed about a future event that would occur. They were revealed about a future event that would occur. And during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, as you know, when the people embraced Islam and they came in, يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, they came in large groups and masses entering Islam. After the Prophet ﷺ had passed away, a large group or section from the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ actually left Islam. They actually quit Islam. And the ulama said that this was due to two reasons, either because they thought they negated and rejected the entire institution of almsgiving, as zakah, and they said that that was for the Prophet ﷺ when he was alive, and now he's gone, we don't have to give it. Or it was because they just outright just quit everything about Islam, they just rejected it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a verse in which He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِي اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. O you who believe, whoever among you leaves the religion of Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about a different group of people. And what are these characteristics? They, yuhibbuhum, Allah loves them, wa yuhibbuna, and they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adhillatin ala al-mu'mineen, they are merciful to the believers. And it's not, adhillah here doesn't mean humiliation, it means merciful. Like Allah says in the Quran, when you show your parents mercy, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. The same word. عِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, having dignity, being strong in the face of those who are against you and Islam, right? And that you struggle in your way and you do not fear the blame of those who are just blaming you for whatever reason it is. You stand firm on the truth. And while it is important to talk about this phenomena, about people leaving Islam, you hear about it in our communities, that is not our topic for today, because that would require a much longer session. But I want to focus on the part where Allah says, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِي اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Allah will bring about a new group of people, those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are also the recipients of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that one of His names is the loving, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving, and He is also the loving. And we as Muslims, we believe that a person cannot have cannot be considered a Muslim if they don't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It's pretty logical. If you don't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, you cannot be a Muslim. You have to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And more often than not, we confuse this term, and it's going around in our society very often, where people define Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as love itself. They will say, God is love. And I think that concept is nice, you know, from the outside, but it's actually a little misleading. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not simply an emotion. Emotions come and go. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His love for the creation, yes, He does, but at the same time, this characteristic is better characterized as rahmah, as mercy. In fact, I was one time in a debate with a Christian missionary, and he was saying that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuhibbu iblis, Allah loves iblis. I said, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala la yuhib iblis, innama huwa he has rahmah, he has mercy for iblis, right? And we have to be very careful about this term. Allah loves, but Allah's love is conditional. Allah's mercy is unconditional. It's to those who believe as well as to those who reject Him. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, it is specific to certain conditions, and we want to talk about that, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Unfortunately, as humans, we tend to love things that give us a certain benefit. Same thing with animals. If I get a benefit from you, I will like you as a person. But if your benefit doesn't extend to me, I'm not going to pay attention to you. And if you don't give me what I want, you will be the victim of my scorn, right? But subhanAllah, this kind of relationship is not how we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not have this selfish relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where if Allah gives us what we want at a drop of a hat, then we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah doesn't give us what we want, then we don't love Him. And that is not the way how our love is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look at the civilizations of the past. For example, the ancient Greeks, you will notice that they believed that if people prayed to these, you know, gods, that the pantheon of gods, the gods that they had, Zeus and whatever it is, Poseidon, they believed that those gods derived their legitimacy and their power through the prayer of the believers. And that's why they say that Zeus and Poseidon and all of these gods, they were able to overthrow the previous generation, Cronus. Because the people stopped worshiping them and loving them, so they started devoting to Zeus, etc. And as a result, they were able to overthrow their parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love is not dependent on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's might and izzah is not predicated on whether or not we obey Him or not, or disobey Him. Because to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefits from this would mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in short of something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't benefit from any of our own actions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us in a dua that he used to say regarding the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding how we should love God. He said, wa as'aluka hubbak, and O Allah, I ask you for your love, wa hubba man yuhibbuk, and the love of those who love you, wa hubba amalin yuqarribu ila hubbik, and the love of actions that bring you closer, that bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's go through this dua very quickly. What does it mean to say that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You're asking for Allah's love. It means that it is not freely given. Unlike mercy, Allah gives it to everyone. He even gave it to Fir'aun. He gave it to Iblis. When Iblis said, Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun, Oh Allah, give me a respite, give me some time until the day of judgment. Allah gave it to him. Allah was merciful. But here, when you say you are asking for Allah's love, and I believe we as Muslims should teach our kids this, and we should make sure that we do this dua every day, that we ask for Allah's love. So what does this mean? To love Allah as our creator, as our sustainer, as the one who deserves to be worshipped. That we do it freely. That we do it not because we were told to do so, but that because we actually believe in what we say. To believe and love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To love everything that Islam has come with. ذاق طعم الإيمان من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا. The Prophet ﷺ says that person will taste faith, يعني the sweetness of iman, for those who are pleased and happy and accepting that Allah is their Lord, that Islam is their religion, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his messenger. And this extends to all the rulings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed to us, for us in the Quran as well as in the Sunnah and the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so that means even if you are struggling with an act, a fariḍah, or you're struggling with an addiction, or you're struggling with getting rid of a sin, a bad habit that you are doing, you have to first accept that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, and you put your whims and desires at a second level under that. As the Prophet ﷺ says, no one has truly believed until they put their whims and desires, until they submit them to what I have brought forth. The second thing that this dua teaches us is the importance of loving your fellow believers, loving your fellow Muslims. As the Prophet ﷺ says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you have truly believed until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. In other words, ridding yourself of jealousy, ridding yourself of the diseases of the heart by surrounding yourselves with believers. And sometimes you will find people saying things like, I just don't like hanging around Muslims. People say that. I don't like hanging around Muslims because of XYZ reason. And it's like, well, maybe because you don't like a certain habit or a certain behavior that they're exhibiting, but if for you to dislike in general being around a Muslim, you got to check yourself, right? And the Prophet ﷺ even said that on the Day of Judgment, you will be among those whom you love. And in the last part of this dua, he says, Oh Allah, we ask you to give us the love, to make us love the actions that get close to your love. حُبَّ عَمَلٍ يُقَرِّبُ إِلَى حُبِّكَ. And that is very important in our time and age. You know, the word worship, brothers and sisters, عِبَادَة, worship. Now, if you ask someone what is worship, they're going to say, oh, worship is salah. Worship is not just salah, that's just عِبَادَةٌ عَامَّة. But there's also ibadatun khasa, which is like salah, all these fariḍa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, these obligatory acts, all these acts of worship. What is your view on them? Do you do them willingly, lovingly, or is it because you're doing it because you have to do it? And that's why in Arabic, the word Al-ibadah, the meaning of it, and this is will shed some light for all of you. It is a combination of love and dhul, of hub and dhul. Yani a combination of love and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, a person cannot be truly enjoying the act of worship until they love it and they are submitting to it. And that's why when the Prophet ﷺ says that The best of actions to him was salah. He didn't do it because he had to do it. He did it because he wanted to do it. And there was this act of submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I don't want to go over all the verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he loves this or he loves this or he doesn't love this, because that will take forever. But I want to give you a reflection that I thought about. When you think about all these verses, for example, Allah says, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Strive for excellence because Allah loves the muhsineen, the people who strive for excellence. And Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah loves those who are patient. Allah loves those who are mutawakkilin, those who rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves those who yuhibbu tawabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. Allah loves those who repent to him and who purify themselves physically and spiritually. So I started thinking, what is the common thread that undergirds all of these verses or hadith that says Allah loves this and Allah loves that? And I came to the simple conclusion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes for you to be patient, to strive for excellence and all of these things, because it makes you undergo a certain change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constant. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and he is always merciful. He doesn't stop being merciful one day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Kabir, the greatest. And he will always be. He is constant. But we as humans, we are not constant. And so many times, people strive for perfection or what they perceive is perfection because they think if they reach that level, that's it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to be in a stationary, stagnant position. So when you are going through patience, when you are undergoing a trial or tribulation, it is not the pain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to see, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not sadistic. Allah likes to see how you react to that test. When you are worried about something and you place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming out stronger, that is what Allah likes to see, that change inside of you. When you return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you repent to Him, there is great effort for a person to humiliate themselves and humble themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submit to acknowledge, I've done something wrong. I need to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That takes a great deal of effort. And so this is, wallahu alam, and Allah knows best, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see in us, to become a better person, to change for the better. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In an authentic narration, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, that when he loves someone, he informs Jibril. نادى جبريل إني أحب فلان. I love so-and-so, so you should love him. And then Jibreel will announce to the Ahl al-Sama', the people of the heavens, the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so-and-so, and I love so-and-so, so you should love them. And all the angels in the heavens will love that person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the acceptance of that person. The people who are righteous, they will recognize the people of righteousness, and he will gain wide acceptance. And the love of Allah is put in their hearts as well. So how do we, after talking about what are the things that we should focus on, how do we know as believers, and this is a big question, how do we know as believers that Allah indeed loves us? So at times of difficulty, at times of tragedy, tribulation and trials, we sometimes question, where is Allah in the equation? Where is Allah? Why is He doing this to me? And I think the first thing that we have to remember as Muslims is that if you look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about some of the people of the past, the Jews and the Christians. They would say, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. that some of the Jews and Christians, they would say, we are the children of God. Yani, it's a metaphor of saying we are as beloved to God as a father is loving his children. قل, and Allah says, قل فلما يعذبكم بذنوبكم بل أنتم بشرا ممن خلق يعذب من يشاء ويغفر لمن يشاء. So if you're saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you unconditionally like a father loves a child, then tell me, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish some of you? In other words, this teaches us that love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not something that basically whatever we want all the time. So as a result, what does this teach us? It teaches us the concept of we as Muslims would never, and should never, assert that we are forgiven, guaranteed Jannah. No Muslim would ever say that. I am guaranteed Jannah, I'm automatically going to Jannah. You don't know that. And it is that kind of humility that makes you strive to do what Allah tells you to do those things that Allah loves, because you're never sure. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to pray 5 times a day, to get us into that habit. Sometimes people will say, you know, Allah loves me for whoever the person is, Allah accepts me for whoever I am, or whoever she is, or whoever he is. And yes, we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. But if you look at the verse in the Quran, Allah describes himself as forgiving before he loves. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدُ فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. He is the most forgiving and the most loving. In other words, in order to get to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to submit yourself and ask Allah for forgiveness, and he is the loving. Additionally, brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a servant, he will put them through tests and trials and tribulations until they keep passing these tests through their patience, until they are walking on earth like as if they have no sins. And in another narration, it's like as if the leaves falling off a tree. Their sins are automatically wiped. And we have to understand that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you through some difficulty, that this difficulty is of two scenarios. Either it is to remove something that you like, or to give you something that you don't like, and to see how you respond. So depending on your response, you will purify yourself and you will be a better person. Finally, brothers and sisters, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows his love to you by putting you in specific situations where he wants to use you for something good. Allah, the Prophet says, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا إِسْتَعْمَلَهُ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for something, he loves someone, he will use them. In other words, what? I'll give you a story. I have a friend of mine. He, many, many years ago, he used to visit the jails, the local state jails. He was not Muslim. And the Muslims in the jail were denied getting Quran translations, whereas the Bibles and other books, they were all coming in nice and fast. So out of his love for freedom to read what they want to read, he started contacting different embassies, the Saudi embassy, for example, and getting Quran translations to bring to the jail, because he thought that that was their constitutional right. And over these many years, he's passed out thousands of Quran. Until I met him, and I started talking to him, and I talked to him about the beauty of Islam and why he's doing it. And you can tell he was a very sincere Christian gentleman, older gentleman, in fact. And then I started talking to him. I said, so do you accept Yani Islam? Do you like? He says, yeah, but I've just never taken the step. Right there that evening, he said the testimony of faith, and he became Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him in these situations to make him a tool, an instrument of change. إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار Oh Allah, give us the best in this world and give us the best in the next life and protect us from the fire. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب أقم الصلاة